Mark chapter 8. I've been preaching through the book of Mark. We're going to look at a few verses in chapter 8 this morning. I want to ask this question, can God do it again? I've been struggling with the aftermath of that statement because I think about, can God do it again? By that I suggest that we can say, look back what God used to do in the house of God, the people of God, how He moved and did such great things. And I certainly can apply that thought to that I'm preaching this morning. But I've also looked at it in this way. The disciples and Jesus are facing a problem that they have faced before. And I think about that I'm going to preach this morning, and I think about this. Oh no, here we go again. Either way, my thought is that God can take care of whatever we're going through. And looking back to when He did it before can help us to know that He'll do it again if we'll let Him. Let's begin reading in verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And the disciples answered Him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And He said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did eat them before the people. They had a few small fishes, and He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they said, had eaten, were about 4,000, and He sent them away. This event that I've just read about is a repeat. Here He feeds 4,000 with women and children. We find that in Matthew. But earlier, in fact, about 6 months earlier than this, He had fed 5,000, not counting women and children. I want to say, here we go again. The same problem, the same predicament, the same need, the same kind of situation. Sometimes that, better not put sometimes in there. That's how life is. We go through the same type of problems over and over. We go through the same situations, the same struggle, the same difficulties over and over and over. But I want to say this morning, if God did it yesterday, He can do it today. If He did it before, by the way, you're here, you're alive. He took care of you. Somehow He saw you through what you went through. And if He did it then, He can do it again. I talked this morning about God can do it again. I want to rephrase that. Can God do it again? Is it true? The same type of event. Now, some say that both of these, the 4,000 and the 5,000, were not two events, but one. That can't be. There are many similarities. I'll mention some of them. But there's too many differences to say there was just one event. The amount of the people, the location, the amount of the leftovers, the amount of the fish, all is different. So there were two different occasions. In other words, this has happened before. I want to say this morning, God can do it again. Jesus handles this situation, 4,000, just like He handled that situation, 5,000. Could have mentioned first, the same problem. The same problem. The problem was we have too many people and not enough food. the problem is so big and I don't have what's needed to take care of the need. The same problem. In verse 1 it says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them. Notice that verse. The multitude of people. Now Matthew tells us again that it was not just 4,000 men, but it was men and women and children. If they only had one wife per man and one child per man, which was unusual for a Jew, there would be about 12,000 people. That's a pretty good crowd. And they had, the Bible says, listen, the Bible says that the crowd had nothing. Nobody had brought food. When they heard about Jesus, they left their homes and they ran where he was, forgetting to take food, not worrying about if they were going to have any along the way. They wanted to get to Jesus. They got there and they've been with him now 3 days and three nights, and they're tired and they're hungry and they have nothing to eat. It's the same problem we have read about earlier. The same problem. We're going to see again, that is called life. Problem after problem, situation after situation, difficulty after difficulty. The same thing happens again and again. The bill comes due again. The doctor calls with bad news again. The situation gets worse again. I ask us this morning, can God do today what he has done in the past? The same problem. I want to mention not only the same problem, but the same people. Look again in verse 1. It says, Jesus called his disciples unto him. The same people are involved with this problem that were involved with the other problem. The same people. Here are the disciples of the Lord. He's still, listen to this. He's still trying to teach them something. Boy, that helps me and that hurts me. Because that's exactly what God's doing with us. He is trying to teach us something. One thing, he's trying to teach them, listen, you can trust me, like we heard this morning. You can depend on me. He is saying to these disciples, if I did it then, I can do it now. The same people are involved. He uses these disciples to try to teach them a lesson. And that's exactly what God wants to do. He is working with weak and frail and flawed people. But he keeps working on them. He has not given up on them. He is still working in their lives, trying to accomplish something good for them. That's your God. He sends problems, allows problems, lets things come over and over because he's trying to teach us something. You can trust God. We weak, frail, flawed people need to learn our God is able. He's about to work something wonderful, not just with feeding people, but helping these disciples. Listen, could it be that God's not doing what he used to do in the churches, in the lives of God's people, because God's people are not doing what we used to do in the past? I ask you this, can God do it again? Sure he can, but he will use people to do it. He will work through people. Humanly speaking, had those disciples not been there, the crowd would have left hungry. They would have never been fed, humanly speaking. So the same people, not only the same problem and the same people, but the same person. Look in verse 1 again. Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them. Jesus, the same person. The one who did it before is the one that's working on it now. The one who knew how to handle the problem earlier is the one that's handling the problem now. He's the same person. He has not changed. He has not grown weak. He has not grown unconcerned. He has not grown uncompassionate. He's the same person. He's lost no power. The same God of yesterday is the God of today. If he could then, he can do it now. The same person is Jesus. He had not changed. He's still compassionate. Look in verse 2. I have compassion on the multitude. He cared about them. He loved them. That word compassion is a word that means to feel sympathy. He felt for them. He felt for them as though he was them. What they were going through, what they were carrying, the problems they had, the situation they were in, he felt that. He was still the same person he was 6 months ago when he handled the problem. He's still compassionate. That word compassion is found 12 times in the New Testament. Listen to this. All 12, it speaks about Jesus. I like that. 12 times that word is used only to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as though the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is saying, that word compassion, that's just for him. If it's not speaking about him directly, it speaks of him indirectly, like the Good Samaritan had compassion. That's Jesus. And the man who forgave the great debt had compassion. That's Jesus. And the other place of compassion is the prodigal's father, where it says he had compassion. That's Jesus. Jesus is the same God who he was yesterday. I want to say something. He's still compassionate. He loves you. He still loves you. He has not lost his compassion for you. He's not only, I'm talking about the same person. He was still compassionate and he was still concerned. Notice what it says in the last part of verse 2. Because that they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. He not only is compassionate, but he is concerned. I mean by that, listen to me. He knows exactly what their problem is. He knows exactly what they're going through. He's not some big God who doesn't care about people or doesn't have time to examine what people are going through. He loves you enough to know exactly what you're facing, and he's compassionate about it, but he's concerned about it. He knows what you're facing. He knows that problem. He knows that situation. He knows that need. It's like God of the Old Testament says, surely I have seen the affliction of my people, and I've heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters. God sees what you're facing. He knows the problem better than we do. He knows the need. By the way, he knows the solution. He's the same person. He cares enough to know your hardship. He is watching closely. Look in verse 3. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. He knows. He knows the need. And he cares about the people with the need. But he knows the frailty of the people. He knows the weakness of those people. He knows they have come too far. Hey, listen. They have come too far. I want to say it again. They have come too far and stayed too long. And if he sends them back home now, they will faint along the way. Same person. He knows those people. Did you notice what it said? Their own houses. These people had left their homes, their houses, which, by the way, had shelter, which, by the way, had food, which, by the way, had water, who had the comforts of home. They left all that to go to Jesus. And in the process of going to Jesus, they realized, we're coming a long way. And it's going to take a long time to get to Him and then go back home. But they kept going to Jesus. They got close to Him because it was worth it to them. I'm talking about the same person. They want to get close to Jesus to get the help they need that they know only He can provide. And Jesus said, if I send them home, they won't make it. It's too far. It'll take too long. It's too hard. In other words, there's a hopeless situation. There's a big problem. They are there, they're getting hungry, and He can't send them home because they won't make it. Let me mention this and I'll go on. As they're coming to Jesus, leaving their home, leaving their food, leaving their comfort, leaving their houses, they know they're coming a long way. And now it's been 3 days and three nights. They know they're staying a long time, but they stay. There's not very many with that commitment today who will stay that long and try that hard and do that much just to be close to Jesus. Most of us want the comfort of home. Most of us want the ease of our bed. Most of us want the home with the house and the food and the comfort instead of really getting along with the Lord and getting help from Him. He's still compassionate. He's still concerned. I want to say this, and I got to hurry. He's still communicating. Look in verse 4 and 5. And His disciples answered Him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. One of the things that blesses my heart about this text is this. Jesus keeps talking. He keeps talking. Here He asks a question, how many loaves have ye? But He's still talking. He's still communicating. And I want to tell you something. As long as God will keep speaking to you, you can make it through. Now, He gets silent. If He ever hushes, we're in trouble. Because the answer comes from Him. And the help comes from Him. And the direction comes from Him. And the solution comes from Him. So we need to listen close to His voice. When we're going through something especially, He's still communicating. He's still talking. I say to us, keep listening to God. Do you notice? They ask the question and He answers. He asks with the question and then responds. Ask the Lord, oh God, what is Your will? Oh God, what do I need to do? Oh Lord, what would please You? Oh Lord, why are You letting me go through this? What do I need to learn? Not with harshness or anger or with anger or bitterness, but oh God, I'm open to You. Lord, I'm receptive. You're trying to teach me a lesson. You're trying to do something in my heart. Oh God, speak to me and direct my path. And then number three, notice, listen, the same problem, the same people, the same person. Number four, the same procedure. The same procedure. Look at verse 6 and 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the seven loaves and gave thanks, and brake and gave the disciples to set before them, and they did eat them before the people. And they had few small fishes, and He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. Notice His procedure, His M.O., His motive of operation. Notice how He handled the problem. Could I remind you what I'm saying? He did it before. Now we need to know He can do it again. And when we look at how he's doing it now, he did it now just like he did it then, the same procedure. He had them sit down. He gathered the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave to the disciples and the disciples gave to the people and the people ate. Guess what? That is exactly what he did before when he fed the 5,000, the same procedure. What's that mean, preacher? Well, I think it means one thing is we don't need something new. We don't need a new procedure. We don't need the bright lights and the smoke and the hoopla and the flash. What we need, listen, what we need, I say again, what we need is the same power of yesterday will work for the needs of today. Same procedure. Did it the same way, the same way. He didn't change anything. He did it the same way as before. And I believe the same God who has power yesterday is the God who will have power today if we'll trust Him and obey Him. In fact, that brings me to my next point, the same power. The same problem, people, person, procedure, the same power. Look in verse 8 and 9. So they did eat and were filled. Wait a minute now, what, huh? This is the multitude that's starving. This is the multitude who has nothing. But now they're eating. Well, now how did that happen? Look and see. And so they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Here with 7 loaves and a few fish, 4,000 are fed, not counting women or children. And they didn't just get a snack. It's not like one of those little chocolate things where you got a little bitty dab. You can't hardly tell what you ate, and you eat it, and you're supposed to wait and not eat anymore. They ate to their fill. I'm talking about Golden Corral. I'm talking about classic buffet. They ate to their fill. They were full. The multitude ate to the field where they did not even want any more. People saying, whoop, I couldn't eat another bite if I hadn't to. The multitude ate and there were leftovers taken. How did that happen? Jesus took the bread, blessed the bread, break the bread, gave the bread. Somewhere in that process, a miracle, same power, took place. His creative power. He made something from nothing, just like he did when he created this universe. He made something from nothing. I'm talking about that takes power, but that's the power God has to create. You say, I don't see how in the world I'm going to make it. I see no way out. I don't see how it could ever happen. I don't see how it's any reason even to pray. I want to tell you, with the God of heaven, He can make a way when there is no way. Same power. And He's using people, by the way, frail people, flawed people. He's using these people to work through. And that's what God does now. Paul talked about God choosing the weak to confound the wise. He uses men and women of God to work through to manifest His power. It's the same power. Now, they ate, and they took up the leftovers, and there were 7 baskets. Now, that's the same word that we see in our English language that was connected to the 5,000 baskets. But in the Greek language, we find that these baskets were not like the small baskets when he fed the 5,000. They were small. these baskets, this word is a word that's talked about a large basket. It's the same kind of basket that they let Paul down the wall in. So these are large baskets, large enough for a man to fit in, and they had seven of these large baskets of leftovers. Somebody, somewhere, has unleashed some power, and that's our good God. And then I want to mention this. The same problem, the same people, the same person, the same procedure, the same power, the same purpose. My last words of this text this morning, verse 9, and he sent them away. He sent them away. Say, well, preacher, oh, he didn't send them home. Yeah, but he did more than that. There's more in those verses and those words than just, well, they went home. Party's over. He sent them away. The event ended with them being sent away. But I got a question. Why? What was he doing when he sent them away? What was his desire for them to do? You see, God does everything with a purpose. There's a reason he does everything he does. This feeding of the 4,000, there was more of a purpose involved than them just being fed. Now that's a benefit, and that's a blessing. And there's no doubt God gets glory for that. And they enjoyed the meal and were refreshed because of it. But there's a whole lot more involved than them just getting food. Here's what I believe he's doing. His purpose, real purpose, primary reason, was that they might see what God could do for them. And enjoy it and benefit. Oh, yeah. But that they might go back home and say, guess what Jesus did for me today? Guess what he did for me? I'm telling you, I was hungry. I was worn out. My youngest was crying. I mean, listen, we were in a fix. There was a multitude of us. We didn't have anything to eat. And somehow the disciples, by the way, if you notice, Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? The bread didn't come from the multitude, because we already learned the multitude had nothing. This bread came from the disciples. Now the disciples were doing the same thing, but it wasn't bread they were getting from a little boy that had been given to them. This was bread they had themselves. They had to give of themselves. They didn't just have to give of themselves. They had to give all they had. It still involves people. But there's a purpose. There's a reason. I'm convinced the Lord did that day with that multitude something that they could not explain. But they had experienced it. And he sent them home to tell others what he had done. What? That he had fed them? Yes, but that's not all. And listen, the reason he saved you, if you're saved, and the reason he gave you strength to get up this morning and fed you yesterday and took care of you last week, all was to show you he loves you and to be good in taking care of your every need, to where you can enjoy his benefits. But he did it for more than that. He did it that you might tell others what God has done for you. And he sent them home to tell everybody they saw what God had done for them. There's a purpose. You know what that means? His real purpose. Like every work he did while he walked this earth, every healing, every word, every deed, every prayer, the purpose, the main purpose was that souls might be saved. That people might know he loved them. and he was coming for them and was going to die for them, and that those who were saved could tell others about salvation. The miracles were to prove he was who he was, that they might see their need as sinners and come to him for salvation. That's the real purpose. And that's why God's good to you. Just because he wants to be good, but you might realize, my God is so good, I got to tell somebody. I want others to have what I have and share Christ. I go back to my first question. Can God do it again? Here we go again, the same problem again. Can the God who took care of me yesterday take care of me today? We look back in the past, we who are older especially, and we see what God did. And we remember how he moved and how he worked and how souls were being saved and lives were being helped and services and churches were stirring and alive and people walked with God, not perfect, no doubt not perfect, but they loved God and served God and were glad to be saved and thrilled about knowing him. And we look back at those days and we ask, can God do that again? I say, yes, he can. But if we want him to do what he did do, we must do what they did back then. Just like the disciples, they just obeyed. They just trusted. Trust and obey. Well, I'm done. Let's stand together.